The title we have for the little message this morning is The Remnant Church. In the biblical trace of the church that we sang, the writer gave a very brief description which came from Revelations. Revelations is talking about the church, the history of the church. And it's written in very obscure language and is very difficult to understand unless you seek for it and ask for it. And then we sometimes have to be taught by those who have a better and a clearer understanding. So it wasn't a real in-depth biblical trace, but it gave us just a glimpse. And the last verse said what? Came down to the evening light or evening time. And that was proclaimed probably late 1800s or so. And according to that, we have been in the evening time of the history of the church. I feel we are past the evening time. I feel that we're coming close to the midnight hour. Time is drawing to a close. Don't get tired of hearing that, because you're going to hear it more and more as time goes on. If you notice, there's messages in Church of God preaching that is sending the warning to whom? To us that will hear, that we can be ready and prepared for the last great day, for the sounding of the trump. And who is God coming back for?
His bride.
He's coming back for his bride. And the bride is only a remnant of what it once was. And it's part of the history. It's part of the Word of God. So last Sunday we spoke a little bit about the walking about Zion and the different dimensions and of the church. I didn't get this pulled up here. I'm sorry. I'm talking without looking. Anyway, we tried to talk about the spiritual visions, and we spoke about what Jesus said to his disciples, that flesh and blood did not reveal it unto them, that he was the Christ, the Son of God, but it was the Spirit. And it's going to take the Spirit of God for you and me to have a revelation of even what the church is, because it's not a picture that we can just, one picture, it's many dimensions, it's many pictures. And as God opens those things up to us and reveals them, and we take them into our life and believe them, and we do what the word of the Lord says, eat the whole book, that it will be bitter in your belly, but it will be sweet in your mouth. And what we want is for the sweetness of the church of God and our vision to be sweet and precious. And I believe that as we draw closer to the end of this time world, that we need this vision clear and bright in our hearts and in our lives. So this morning, I'm asking that the Lord will take his word and open it up to us and reveal what he is wanting us to see in his word. I'm thinking of these other songs that we sang, and I hope that it wasn't too tedious for you, because I really wanted us to focus on what other writers saw and what their vision was You and I might not be able to write a song about the Church of God, but we can say amen to those words that have been written by others. So the chosen and the redeemed throughout all the ages, what happened? What happened in history? It represented the Church of God. It may not have said the Church of God, but it was the body of Christ, and it's represented down through the dark times and the distressing times. If you're familiar at all with the things that are presented in Revelations, the church went through horrible times of persecution and martyrdom and things such as that, but it prevailed. That's what we need to keep in our minds, that the church did not fail. God was able to uphold His bride, His church, all down through the history, and He will do it still today to the end. We don't have to worry that his bride is going to fall to the ground. He speaks about that His word is not going to fall to the ground. His word is going to be upheld, thank the Lord. And so we don't need to worry that, because we're going to give you some things that may look discouraging. But we're not to be discouraged. Jesus said in one place to His disciples, He said, I'm not going to give it the exact words. Remember, I told you these things before they happened. He prepared His disciples for His death, for what was going to happen. And that's what God does with His word to you and me today. He prepares us. He's not leaving us in dark, in a darkness, and we don't know what the church is going to be like close to the end of time. We can know. And I believe the Lord wants to reveal it to us today that we can be prepared and not discouraged. We can hold steady. We do not have to waver. Thank the Lord. So one thing I have down here is that if you get anything from the message, that you will always remember that God will always have a people.
Amen.
His people are not going to be lost. If you get anything, always remember that He will always have a church. To the end.
Yes.
We don't have to worry about what we see or hear or what we think. Keep your eyes on the Lord and keep your eyes on heaven as your goal.
Yes.
There will be people that will fail. Don't keep your eyes on the failures of man. So there's one other point I wanted to emphasize before we begin is that this clear vision that God is wanting us to have of His church in the earth is that God is coming back for His church. He's going to, when the sound of the trump comes, the people of God, the saints of God, those that are redeemed, are going to rejoice. But the world who has rejected the plan of salvation and the redemption that is offered, and it's too late to pray, they will wail. Let's remember, He's coming back for His church. So we want to speak to you concerning the remnant church. And when I named it that way, I had to say, well, I better give them a little caution. Why would I have to give you a little caution of a title such as that? I'll tell you why. I put it in the internet. And there is a church that believes they are the remnant church, and it is a false church. So I can't, that's my caution. Don't try to get on the internet and think you're going to find something out about the true remnant church of God. So I would even say, leave it alone. But there, I was surprised. I was surprised to find, I could name it out. It is the Seventh-day Adventists. They believe they are the remnant church, and their leaders are the leaders of the remnant church. So I'm going to give you some definitions now. One definition that I found, it said, a group of people who remain loyal to God no matter what. Another reference was in the book of Revelations, and it said like this. It said, the remnant are the true end-time followers of the Lamb who remain faithful amidst widespread apostasy and persecution. Now, we are not really a persecuted people.
No, we're not.
We hardly know what persecution is. That's not to say it won't come. I'm not predicting one way or another. I know we have the privilege of asking God to let us live a quiet and a peaceful life, and that is said in this congregation often as a prayer request. It's good. But we are among a time of apostasy.
Amen.
We may not be persecuted, but we're in a time of a great falling away. And it can be a great falling away right among us. And the scripture warned us that it would happen. That was Jesus's warning, that there would be a great falling away before he came. Are you going to fall away? Is your vision going to become blurred? Are you going to begin to have the human reasoning that we've been trying to mention? Human reasoning, what does it do? We begin to say, well, this isn't necessary. And that's not, that was just that generation. They believed this. I want to tell you, believe the word of God, allow his spirit to lead you and guide you into all truth. That's the key. You and I need the Holy Spirit working in our lives clear to the end of our life.
Yes, that's true.
And it's valuable. It will keep us. It will teach us. So next one is a definition, it's an actual definition. This is a small part or portion that remains after the main part no longer exists. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about a past message that we had on the Great Awakenings and the thousands of people that turned and were saved during that season of time. The messages, you remember we sort of mentioned the 30-minute messages we have now. There's nothing wrong with that. But the message is there. Remember the one we spoke of was 56 pages long. And it had to do with hell. And it caused the people to literally lay prostrate on the ground out of fear. We're not in that time. People have lost their fear. God is calling with what resources that he has for today. And his resources are just as powerful today as it was when they had 56 pages long in the messages. If you and I will receive it and open our heart to it, God can work in us just as great today. His power is still the same today. Thank the Lord. So we also thought of some examples in the Bible where there was a remnant. and I really, there's several. We're not going to take the time for all of them. But the one we want to mention that is very significant was when Noah and his family survived. The only 8 souls on the face of the earth, I can't imagine. I can't imagine being 1 of 8 to start posterity again and start humanity again. That's what happened. That was a very small remnant from what its beginning was. And then Jesus gave 2 parables, and we're not going to turn and read them. We're just going to give them to you. We've used them so many times. We should always be able to relate to and understand when Jesus was giving the warning, and it was a warning of the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. That's a remnant that was saved of the whole, being 50%. That's a remnant. They were the old, there was a remnant that when the call came that the bridegroom had arrived, they were ready to go in. And God shut the door, and the others were left out. The other parable that Jesus gave, which to me is, and I've said it before, is the most serious parable that Jesus gave us, and it was of the tares and the wheat. Why do I count that so serious? Because when the workers said, "Shall we pull up the tares?" and the command was, "No, you allow the tares and the wheat to grow together to the end." That parable is about the end. The end of, Jesus said it. It's about the end of time. That's serious. Because if I'm not wheat, I will not be part of the remnant church. The wheat is the pure member redeemed of God and able to be taken when the door is open. Thank the Lord. So those are the only 2 parables that I counted as being a picture of the remnant. But I want to give a few conditions now of things that were foretold for the closing of this age and this time. And I want to say again, it may sound discouraging, but I don't believe the Lord wants us to be discouraged. I believe that He wants us to have understanding, so when it comes to pass, or if we see it come to pass, that we'll say, that's a sign.
Yes.
That's a sign of His coming. And I don't have to be a part of that sign. I can still be a part of the remnant church in the earth. Thank the Lord. So the end times is depicted as a gleaning time. Don't be discouraged if you don't see a great awakening. Brother, I've got to tell this. I've told it. Brother Isaac Chandler said in a message that he could say when the end of time was coming. And did that get my attention? Yes. He said, God will come when the people of God in the 4 corners of the earth are crying unto Him to come. That conditions have become so difficult and hard, and that they are crying for the Lord to come. He said, that's when the Lord will come. This was back in the, I don't remember what year, 80s?
70s, probably.
Maybe 70s, yeah. It was preached in California. And then he says, but I can tell you, if there should be a revival in the earth, he said, if he used an example, if God has already set December the 10th or something, He's going to return. And prior to that time, there becomes a revival. People get concerned about their souls. People begin to turn away from their wickedness and their sins. He says, God won't come. So it depends on the conditions of the people and what they're either embracing or not embracing. And so this gleaning time gives us a picture. And you know what? Most of these things were prophesied in the Old Testament. How long ago? We should not be discouraged if it comes to pass in our time. This is Isaiah. Isaiah is a good chapter, good book to read on a lot of these things. Isaiah 17, I'm going to be reading from verses 4, 6 through 8, 12, and 14. And it says, in that day, the day of the Lord, the day of the gospel day. We're in the gospel day, see? In that day, the glory shall be made thin, and the fatness shall wax lean. Yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, two or three berries in the top of the utmost boughs, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches, saith the Lord. The Lord said this. This is what you are to expect. Now, if we begin to compare this age to the age of the Great Awakening, will you be discouraged? We could. Look at our numbers. If the enemy successfully causes you to look around at the numbers, could you be discouraged? We could, but we must not. I said it in the prayer this morning. If the word of the Lord did not tell us where two or three are gathered in His name, He would be in the midst. If it were a large number, we'd be lost. But He's pleased to meet with us with just a few. It goes on and it says, at that day shall a man look to his Maker. This is a very important part of the scripture here. And his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One. Don't lose sight of the Holy One. Don't let your vision turn and even compare this age to any other age. Even 50 years ago, let's not compare. Let's keep our eyes on the Holy One. He shall not look to the altars, the work of His hands. I'm just giving you some highlights, phrases in this, because we can begin to go to camp meetings. Well, just not very many people are going to the altar. Are we looking at the altars then? Let's not look at the altars. Keep your eyes on the Holy One. And we're not to look at the works of our hands. Is it producing anything? I want to tell you, we could be discouraged just in a little congregation. How many people have come to the church? If I look at that, I can go down. Mm-hmm. And then it says, woe to the multitude of many people. Amen. And then it says, I'm just giving you some phrases of these verses. And behold, at eventide, trouble. I'm not going to make too many comments about that. I think we can understand that. The time we're living in, I will tell you, I heard this. Someone that's in the church in another state, and they were listening to the news. And I don't know what they heard on the news, but it was so bad they made a statement in front of their family. I just don't want to live on this earth any longer. And one of his little children said, oh, well, Daddy, we would sure miss you if you weren't here. And he said, no, that's not what I mean. He said, I want the Lord to come and take us all home. See, we can sort of get the feeling that way too. The conditions that are about us, our society, the direction they're going, you know, we could be, Lord, say it is enough and let us escape this place. Well, the end times, this next one, I'm going to say this is how the people may look upon the Church of God in the world. But it could also possibly cause you and me to be tempted to feel, as the scripture says. So this one is Isaiah 54, verses 5 through 8. And I might mention also that this particular chapter is a real good chapter to use in your devotions. Read the whole chapter. It's really good. But this is what it says. Thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One. Isn't that good? The God of the whole earth shall he be called. Isn't that good? But then it changes. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. We may feel forsaken. We may not have quite as many healings, victories. We may wonder why the answer doesn't come. I have. It says it's only for a small moment. It's not going to be forever. Because then he says, great mercies will I gather thee. Isn't that precious? In your times of temptation, of feeling like God is silent and he's not hearing my prayer and he's not really doing anything, wait. The scripture has a lot to say about us waiting on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then it says, and then with great mercies I'll gather you up. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness. See, there's another side to it. When you don't feel the presence of the Lord, wait on him, because he will, with everlasting kindness, have mercy on thee, saith the Lord of thy Redeemer. So God is still there. He's not changed. We can count on him, but we may have to wait. And we may have to endure places that it seems like he is silent and we don't feel his presence. Another one is Deuteronomy 7 and 6 through 9. For thou art an holy people. I think it was almost brought out this. I don't know if you quoted this one this morning or not. But for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. Now, you know what? We have talked a lot in the last few messages about our vision, what we see, what we have understanding of. But I want to tell you something. God has a vision too.
Yes, he does.
And he's looking down. And we We may hold the scripture, well, he judges the heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance, but I want to tell you, he does that too.
Yes.
He looks at the outward and he looks at the heart and he claims his own. And he says, I have a holy people. That's the ones that make up this remnant church in the end times. For thou art my an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. And I think Paul brought this one out. Above all of the people of the face of the earth. You know, we ought to really count that special. We may be small in number, but he is counting us as above all of the people of the earth. Isn't that precious? The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number. God did not choose his people because they were great in number. For ye were the fewest of all of the people. Let's not be discouraged. The word of the Lord is so plain when it says many are called, but few, I say, have chosen. It's up to you and me to choose. So now I'm going to read some various passages, and some are just phrases, but it's concerning the remnant. And I'm going to... I'm going to do it from Isaiah 4 and 3, Isaiah 11 and 16, Isaiah 16 and 4, and Micah 5, 7 through 8, and that's just a few of them. But that's all I'm going to read to you this morning. And it says, but now the Lord hath spoken, the remnant shall be very small and feeble. Let's not be discouraged. And it shall come to pass, he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth shall be called holy. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, yes.
He's going to call his people holy. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people which shall be left. What's that? Hasn't he said that there is a highway of holiness? And what kind of a man will not err therein? Someone help me. The wayfaring man, the ignorant, will not err, because God has a way that is plain for you and me to walk on, and it's for his remnant. That's what it says here. And the remnant shall be in the midst of many people. The remnant shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people. Let's not compare ourselves to others. This is the church, the remnant church in the earth, just in the world. Wherever God's church is in the world, that's part of his remnant. Now I'm going to Romans 11 and 5. It says, even so, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. God's grace is sufficient for you and me in the midst of all of the people of the earth. He has grace for his remnant body. Those that are few in number. So in closing, I'm going to give a scripture that I used last Sunday, and I want it to encourage us all. And it's in Joel, the second chapter in 32, and I read it last Sunday. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That should encourage us. That no matter what age, no matter how long time goes, no matter what generations may come and generations may go, those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank the Lord. His word is eternally set.
Yes, yes.
His promises are true. And there's not going to be any place along the way that he's going to say, I can't do it anymore. So that should encourage us. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, if those that are sitting among the wheat suddenly begins to call on the name of the Lord, they'll become wheat. Or if that one that is unwise and didn't fill their vessels and they suddenly realize it and they call on the name of the Lord, they'll become a wise virgin. Thank the Lord. And it goes on and it says, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. Now remember the message that we had that identified who Mount Zion was and who Jerusalem was. We said it's not over there in that country, in Israel. It's not there. It's the heavenly, the new Jerusalem. Mount Zion represents the church of God. And the new Jerusalem, where did it come from? The scripture says, down out of heaven. So it says that in these places, Jerusalem, Mount Zion, shall be deliverance. That's where God's going to be working. It's His body. It's His body in the earth. It's His church. He's responsible for the remnant church. What is left here on earth right now. And as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant, whom the Lord shall call. I love that verse. To me, it's so encouraging. It doesn't matter if we're few in number. God will still work with whoever calls on the name of the Lord. They can be delivered. But that's where they're going to find deliverance. Oh, you might say, well, and this was said to Brother Austis, you folks just think you're the only ones that's right. No. We know, we understand, we have light, that it's He that is abiding in us. And I think I said it last Sunday, we don't have a monopoly on it.
No, that's right.
We are part of His body because He redeemed us.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. Well, that's our little thought this morning. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged that God is able and will be able to deliver to the end of time. And He's able to keep His church in the earth till time is no more. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.